Birmingham Blitz by Annie Murray. Read by Julia Franklin. August 1939.
Mom?
Silence.
Mom!
What? That was a "what the hell do you want now?" voice.
Come up quick, it's Lola. She's dead.
A pause from downstairs. We never usually called her Lola. Granny, Nan, filthy old cow, depending on who was talking, who listening. I couldn't call her Granny today somehow. Not now she'd gone. Hang on a tick. Let me put this on the gas. Jeannie? Sure she's not having you on? God almighty.
I'll ask her, shall I? Lola, you're dead or what?
Don't be so cheeky. I heard her footsteps across the back room. Then nothing. Above the mantel there was an oval mirror with a green frame. Faded pink flowers stenciled round it. I realised she'd stopped. Actually stopped to look at her reflection. Her pale face which looked gaunt and scooped out under the high cheekbones. Thin brown hair twisted in a knot at the back. Wisps of it always working out of the pins. She dragged herself up the stairs eventually, muttering, "The martyr as usual." She would go on a Saturday morning when no one's around and your dad's off playing soldiers. As if I haven't got enough on me plate. What are we going to do? Oh! She clapped her hands over her nose at the door. She must have messed herself, I said. As if I couldn't tell, in this heat too. She hadn't messed herself like that before, as a rule. Not the full works. Just wet the bed. My bed, where I'd had to sleep with her every night for 3 years, pressed up against the bugs on the wall, waiting for it. The wet and stink, and it seeping across, warm first, then cold. Not taking her eyes off Lola, Mom backed over and flung open the window with one hand. We could hear kids playing out the back next door. Then she crept forward, face all screwed up, on tiptoe, as if she thought Lola was going to explode or jump up and dance a polka. She bent over the bed, keeping her hand on her nose. Long, pointy nose like a pixie, my Mom. Lola's hands were lying outside the covers. They'd barely looked like hands for a long while. Had a hard life. They were red, like mutton chops, the knuckles tight and swollen. And she used to nurse them in her lap when they throbbed. Mom picked one up, like she would a dead rat. Except she never would pick up a dead rat. She'd get me to do it. Her face still looking as if someone had forced a cup of castor oil down her. She's not breathing. One hand was still pegged to her nose, the other groping about round Lola's wrist. She's gone. Dropped the hand and let it fall back on the bed. Finally she loosed her nose, staring at Lola's grey old face. Shame. Looks quite peaceful now, don't she? You'll have to clean her up, Jeannie, before we get her laid out. Can't let her be seen in that state, can we? She was over at the door by now. I couldn't do it. It'd make me bad. So I washed my dead granny that baking hot afternoon. You have to do your duty to the dead, even though she was smelly and vicious and I hated her. She had disgusting habits. Taking snuff was one of them, and she only had two hankies, which I always got the job of washing out. They looked as if a dog had sicked on them, and I could never get them any cleaner. She sniffed louder than water going down the plug hole and gobbed into the fireplace. She soaked me in urine nearly every night and talked a load of gibberish. I'd kneel down in front of her to roll her stockings up her sickly white legs with the bacon burn marks up them from sitting close to the fire all her life, the smell of wee rising off her. Sometimes she'd slap me hard as she could round the face. Brought tears to my eyes. She'd squawk, "Bitch!"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?